This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
from every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yes, people. Wakey, wakey. You know how it goes. It is DPHRO. It is Rothenberg. It is 98.7 ESPN. Oh, so much to get into on this. I typically don't like the Wednesday. Today is different. First of all, it looks like we're going to be past the rain, which was just horrendous yesterday and depressing. But secondly, I told you yesterday, I expect the Knicks to go out there and win that game, and you fought me, and you didn't want to believe it, and in almost a laugher, Rick, my dear friend, the Knicks phenomenally hammer the Philadelphia 76ers. Good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, David. Here's the thing. I wasn't fighting you because I was hoping for the same exact thing. I just wanted to get people's hopes up, right? I mean, you're talking about, yeah, we're excited about the Knicks. The Knicks hadn't beat the Sixers in their last 15 games.
It was
Joel Embiid had never lost to the Knicks. So it shouldn't have felt like a foregone conclusion that they were going to bounce back and just walk into the Garden and beat up on the Sixers, but that's exactly what happened, because I'm telling you what, we said yesterday, you said yesterday, this was a litmus test, a measuring stick game for the New York Knicks. I'll tell you who didn't get that memo.
Philadelphia?
Was Philadelphia and Joel Embiid, because he wanted no part of it. He wanted nothing to do with that kind of intensity level and that kind of physicality.
And it was exactly what I was looking for. And by the way, I mean, it's the Wednesday. You know what we do. The normal hijinks, the laughter that we have. We'll get into the baseball a little bit. And I'm starting to get very nervous about the Braves. I don't want them to win, right? So, obviously, the Knicks, a lot of conversation. Woody Johnson with some very defensive remarks about his head coach and his GM. Stump Rothenberg at 6:45. So, we have all of the trimmings that we always have on this Wednesday. But you know what? That's what I needed. That's exactly what I needed. I was, I don't want to say distraught, annoyed and bothered by what happened on Sunday against Orlando. And to come out and answer the bell like that, that's what I needed. I'm all in. Phenomenal victory last night.
In all honesty, and I'm not even joking, that is from top to bottom, one of the most complete games I've ever seen the Knicks play. And I'm not even joking. That's not hyperbole. I'm not even joking. I mean, especially that second quarter.
It crushed them.
Dave, I mean, you tell me. I mean, it was scoring throughout the entire lineup. Bench gets you jump-started. I mean, they outscored the Sixers bench 30-10 in the first half. They shot 64%, the bench did, from the field in the first half.
Yep.
R.J. Barrett, what's been the one thing that we've criticized R.J. about a little bit? Slow starts. He gets off to a quick start. They actually made their free throws. Joel Embiid didn't have a bucket in the first half. He was 0-for-5 in the first half.
It was glorious.
He made two all game. He was disinterested.
Yeah, well, good. You be disinterested all you want, because if the Knicks are going to show up like that, they're going to hammer teams. Hammer. You know what the nice thing about this team is? If you get guys, you know, last year, if Randall and Barrett and Rose and maybe Quickly don't score, you can't score.
No, it was tough. It was hard.
This year, totally different. This year, if you're Fournier or Walker, or Rose, or Randall, and you're having an off night, okay, that's fine. Then you know what? You're not going to play a lot because we have other guys that can answer the bell and can score.
Well, there's not many teams in the NBA, and I don't want to get too excited, right? I mean, I'm excited, but
you
I don't
should get excited. Come
no,
on, let
excited.
Yourself go.
Listen, I'm excited. I loved every second of what I saw last night. Every single second. The second quarter was one of the best quarters I've ever seen them play. I loved it. All of it. I mean, hell, they made 15 of their first 23 threes. They actually made their free throws. Like, there wasn't a lot that I could pick apart about last night. Right? So I'm going to say something, and I don't want this to be like, oh, Rick's getting crazy. We're only four games in. But there aren't a lot of teams in the NBA that can roll out, you know, hockey style, a second full unit like the Knicks can do. Like full line change. Like five starters out, five bench players in, and they don't skip a beat. Like pace, tempo. I mean, I told you what they did last night. Like the bench is what got them going last night.
Yeah.
It was an okay first quarter.
And you don't even have Nerlens Noel right now.
No, and I mean, Mitch, Taj, the double teams on Joel Embiid, the defense was good. You saw them switch. When the ball moves with the Knicks, I mean, their offense is so much better when the ball moves. I mean, Julius Randle didn't have a huge night, but Julius Randle had seven assists, and guess what? Only one turnover last night. Only one. They weren't settling for bad shots.
Nope.
Like you mentioned Kemba. Last night was Kemba, and that was Kemba's game. That was Kemba's best game as a New York Knick last night.
But they didn't play well, but against Orlando, he was non-existent. Right? Other guys attempted to pick up the role and pick up the scoring. So, again, I said it yesterday, how you could not be excited about this team now. I mean, they're going to go out there. And you know what I love? There are teams like the Nets, like the Sixers, that are, you know what, it's a regular season game and we're going to mail it in because either we can or we think we can or we're going to be fine. Not the Knicks. They're not going to go out there and just, you know what, here's our guys. No, not this coach, not this team. They're going to go out there and they're going to try to beat you. Now, they may not do it, and they can lay eggs like they did the other night against Orlando, but for the most part, you're going to know you were in a game after you've played the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that would concern you about the New York Knicks moving forward is...
They shot a lot of threes.
Well, no, man, they shot a lot of threes, and they actually shot, like I told you, I mean, they made 15 of the first 23, then they went cold. I mean, and then it was... I mean, at one point, I stopped counting. They were 0 for 11 at one point. I stopped counting. But it's just, are they going to get worn down? Because, I mean, Tibbs is a savage, man. You saw it against Orlando. In Orlando, pissed them off that he kept the starters out there. Last night, end of the game, still
he
has
was
the
wrong.
Starters out there.
Listen, there was no reason. I'm sorry. And I love the guy, and I think he's a terrific coach. There was no reason to be up 20 points in the fourth quarter in Orlando and have your starters on the court.
I agree. And that, I mean, that clearly pissed them off, right? I mean, they said as much. But, I mean, that's the only thing that really worries you is the health of this team, the health of Kemba, the health of Derrick Rose. That's what concerns you. Because this team, you're right, they play hard, man. Like that, the pace they played with last night was... The Sixers were not interested in playing like that. They weren't. Embiid was like... At one point when Embiid... You'll remember the play. When Embiid gets hit in the face by Mitch, mm-hmm. like he hit him in the nose, and he just laid on the court for like 5 minutes. He looked tired, first of all, but he was like, I don't want any of this. What are we doing right now? This is the beginning of the regular season. Why are we playing so hard right now?
Yeah,
because that's how the Knicks play.
Exactly. But how great is that? Isn't that what we've desperately wanted for years and years and years? Go out there, give us all you have. If it's a win, great. If it's a loss, you know, we can deal with that. Right? I mean,
that's the only thing you
can
control,
right?
But seriously, I mean, I tell my son that. I'm sure you tell your kids that. I tell my guys that I coach. That's really, I mean, there's only a couple things you know going into a game that you can control. You can't control the reps. It's effort. That's it.
Yep. Yep.
How hard are you going to work? And that's the one thing with this Knicks team you really don't have to worry about is how hard they're going to work.
No, because you're going to get that. And it's going to be a fun season. It really is. Now, you have a big test on, what is it, Thursday? Which is
Chicago.
By the way, 8 o'clock. Come on.
I hate it.
Oh, God.
I hate it. I'll tell you what, too. I fought it. With the national broadcast, like people that would call in, I miss my guys. I'm like, nah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
No, you miss your guys.
Dude, I'm there. I can't stand it. I don't like missing Alan and Wally and Monica and I don't like it. Breen on the call.
Of course.
It bothers me. It really does. And those guys are fine.
No, they were fine last night. You know what I do love about the NBA? It's so quick. Like that game is just, it's tidy. You know, you sit down for a baseball game, and this is kind of the attraction with baseball, but this can be the curse as well. Like, you could be sitting down and getting ready for four and a half hours of, you know, never-ending baseball. You tune in for a basketball game, you're in and, I mean, it's done. You're in and out.
Yeah, it is nice. It is nice, especially when your team plays the way they played last night.
I mean, if you wanted, by 10 o'clock last night, you shut it down, you're done. Because the World Series was over, right? Atlanta had a comfortable lead, and then the Knicks hammered Philadelphia, and then you're done. Now, I'm an idiot because I just stay up for no reason, but you could shut it down early.
I'm telling you what, man, and this happened fast, and I don't want to, again, every time I bring this up, you get all crazy with the free agents and everything else, but just watching these games, I can't wait till we go to one of these games, but just watching these games on television, realizing we're four games into this season.
Yeah.
And to see the Garden... As crazy as it is already, Like, I don't know how anyone that watches, any NBA player that watches this isn't jealous of it. Because I'll tell you what.
Wants to be a part of it?
Dude, last night's a Tuesday night. I know you're playing the Sixers, but it's a Tuesday night. The weather is horrendous.
Horrendous.
Horrendous. Like, as a player, like, you're dry. I'm just telling you right now. Like, especially this time of the year, it's, you know, it's, the weather's changing. It's not as nice out. Like, you get in the car to go to the game, and it's kind of, it's raining, it's dreary. It ain't easy to get yourself up for that game. Right? Well, like, you're looking for other reasons. Like, give me some external motivation to get me going. You step onto that court, and you see how that building is going? I mean, that's a huge advantage.
So think about what this organization now offers. It's New York City. And I would think that most people love New York City. Most, okay? Now you say you have a functional franchise. You have a team that's a playoff team. There's no doubt about it. You have a team that's well coached. You have a team that's heading in the right direction. You have a team, for the most part, that's pretty young. Oh, and by the way, you have a fan base that every time you step onto the court is going to adore you and implore you to victory. I mean, this has to be a destination now if you're an unhappy player in your organization.
It's a playoff atmosphere every time they step on the court, man. I mean, you saw, like, we talked about this the other day. We're watching the Nets game. In the excuses, well, you know, after the first half, you know, people are late to the season. That building was dead. Like, the third quarter was dead. Dead. Like, it felt like, I'm not even going to say a preseason game, because it was like a scrimmage. It was that dead. And then you turn on the TV last night, and you watch that game, and
it's different.
It's different. It absolutely is different. The intensity, the energy is different.
It's very different. Now, I get a tweet. You get a tweet as well. You think the outcome of last night's game against the Sixers would be different if Simons played. If Simmons played, no. Now, it might have been closer, but I think the Knicks have their way. The Knicks last night were just better than Philadelphia.
Well, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, would Simmons have helped? Absolutely, Simmons would have helped. But, I mean, Joel Embiid had, again, I mean, he wasn't very good at all last night. Like, he didn't look like he was interested in playing that game last night. And Seth Curry didn't shoot well.
Nope.
At all. I mean, you realize Seth Curry came into that game 13-17 from three?
Mm-hmm.
And they,
he's a great
shooter. He did nothing last night.
Yep.
So, yeah, listen, it was just one of those games where the Knicks, off a bad loss.
Terrible.
Bad loss to the Magic. Clearly went into this game saying, okay, this is a great opportunity for us to bounce back and to measure ourselves up against one of the better teams in the East.
And they answered the bell. And they answered the bell in a huge, huge way. Here is Tom Thibodeau, satisfied with how his team responded after the awful loss that we mentioned against Orlando on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, like, and it was long before the ball went up tonight. I could tell, you know, immediately after the game, we knew we didn't play well. We have a really good group of guys, and they're serious-minded. And so we were disappointed with the way we played, that we didn't close out that game the way we should have. I could tell that night, the next day, and then last night, the gym was packed with people working. So I knew and this was a good test for us. But it doesn't stop. And we can't feel good about tonight, where, you know, you go to Chicago and you're playing an undefeated team that's loaded, that's playing real well. So we're going to have to play our best.
I agree with everything except one thing. You can't feel good about tonight. You can feel good about that game. Why shouldn't you be able to feel good? Now, I'm not saying that don't know what you have coming up, or Chicago's a good team, they're undefeated, you look at the talent they have, all those things are true. But you have to be able to step back for a second and enjoy the victory from last night.
No, I just think he means don't get complacent.
Okay, that's
like
fine.
The work doesn't stop.
Of course it doesn't. But that's not what he said, right? You have to be able to enjoy what you did. You played a great game against a team that's good.
Well, here's the funny thing. He probably won't enjoy it, though.
I'm sure he won't. But that doesn't mean that we can't, and we shouldn't, because
I don't think he's speaking to the fan base. That's a message to his team. Like, yeah, feel good now. I'll give you the rest of the night. But realize we got to bounce back against a really good Chicago Bulls team.
That is a really good Chicago.
Because the tests don't stop. And here's the other thing, Dave, which makes this team even more attractive, in my opinion, for any potential star or whatever it is. And I'm not saying go chase after stars. But, I mean, you can see, like, it's tangible. The guys on this team, especially the young guys, are getting better. Like, Obi Toppin is so much better than he was last year.
Yes. Well, he was, I mean, how many times did we start the show and it's like,
he was unplayable.
This guy's unplayable.
I mean, he's clearly better. Derrick Rose's three-point shooting is getting better. You saw what they did with Julius Randle, right? Like, guys are getting... Mitchell Robinson puts on some weight. He looks better. Like, guys have completely bought in, and they're getting better, and you're seeing it translate onto the court right now.
Yep, you sure are. So that's our jumping off point, and it's a beautiful place to jump off from.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
I'm the one, yeah. I'm the one.
I think it would be, right? This was on you.
How's it on me?
How many times do you hear a commercial? Like, is this us or is this a commercial? You never know.
Yeah, but how long have you been doing this? He needs to hold your hand?
It's that hand holding.
He's doing your job.
I couldn't tell if it was a commercial or not. Sure sounds like an excuse to me. I'm just
not an excuse.
You know.
Well, that's because he got caught the one time. It was a toothpaste commercial.
You'd have gotten caught too.
That was years ago.
Well, you know what? It still rings true. I'm not over it yet. That crest, it troubled me for years. It's a dangerous toothpaste.
This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
We are the excuse-making show. DPetro and Rothenberg, we have excuses for you.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I'm getting so tall. All right, away we go. 6 o'clock hour. Time for a little Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. A couple things. Firstly, you want me to tell you the story?
Yeah, I want to hear the story.
So, similar story. That's right. I'm probably 7 or 8. So we're going back to 1980. Think of the Cold War. All right? Okay. Think of U.S.-Russia hockey. And it was in the summer. I always remember it was in the summer. And they said, I was unhappy with something. And they said, well, you're not going to run away, are you? We'll figure it out. I said, I just might run away. And they're like, you're not going to run away. Stop it. I said, you don't know what I'm capable of. I just might run away. And I remember being at the front door, and it was genius. Like, honestly, like it was like Ocean's 11 style genius. My mother handed me a cup of juice. I remember it distinctly.
You're so coddled. And you threaten her in a way, and she hands you a cup of juice.
So I was thirsty. So before we went out the front door, I unlocked the back door. Like, this was planned, well orchestrated and planned. I unlocked the back door. So we're in the front, hands me the juice, and I put my plan into place. I throw the juice up into the air, juice goes all over, glass comes crashing down, and I'm out. Like Carl Lewis, I'm gone. I run to the right side, to the back, and around the house, at which point they have no idea what's happened to me. In the back door, and leave that alone, please, that I've left unlocked, into the house, lock the back door so they never know that that's the way I've decided my reentry, upstairs into the attic, hiding in a nook in the attic.
For how
I'm
long?
Not in this
that's
for the short
the thing.
Term.
How long in the attic?
Hours. So they're looking, Dave, and you can hear the panic. It's building. Now, you know me. I tend to be a little stubborn. So I am locked away. Like, I would have been like Anne Frank up there. I am not coming out. I am not coming out. Okay? They come up into the attic. David, where are you? Where are you? Please, where are you? Nothing. Until 5, 6, 7 hours later. And I hear different footsteps walk upstairs. The attic door opens. Two police officers.
No.
Now, I swear. Two police
you
officers.
It, you did it that long? Do you realize,
yes.
Now being a dad, do you realize what you did to your parents?
Yeah, I do now, yeah.
You know, on top of it, why? I don't understand. Like, plan, great plan. Well thought out. Back door up into the attic. You should have brought snacks. I mean, 7 hours
that
is a long
year, I was
stint.
Getting very hungry. You're right. Yeah.
Of course you were getting hungry.
Yeah.
You start to second guess that. But why? I mean, your mom's trying to do you a solid.
Yeah.
Like, at least get you hydrated before you make your break and run away. And you got to spike the glass of juice?
Well, you know what? It was my getaway moment. It was if I, because I thought, I was like genius. I was like Dillinger. I thought if I throw the juice up, the glass shatters down, that'll give me enough lead time to get out of there and they won't be able to catch me. Because remember, I'm only 7 or 8. I have little legs. I need time to get away. So up into the attic, in the corner, and I'm you know me. I'll go days up there. until there's a big game up, I will go day. I had reading material. I could go days up there. And when I saw the police, I panicked and I came running out with my hands up, mind you, because I thought they were going to arrest me.
Now, here's the question I have for you.
Yeah.
Did you stay up there? Well, obviously, you stayed up there long enough where the police showed up, where they thought you ran away from home.
Mm-hmm.
But were they so relieved that they found you that they didn't get mad? Or were they in that moment just so mad at you for the 7 hours you put them through?
No, the first one. They were thrilled to see me alive.
So it really was. I mean, you didn't even get in trouble.
I might have later gotten a talking to, but no. They were. I mean, think about that, right? They thought that kid was gone. We had 90 seconds in a Dick's Sporting Goods, and my wife was ready to leave me. This was hours. The police were involved.
Talk about setting the tone, though, at that moment.
Like, I let them know how it's going to walk be. Out. They never challenged me again.
You don't know what I'm capable of doing.
Right? Would you say that of the people at the station, I would be the one most capable of doing something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, usually, like, emotionally, you have something wrong with you, so I don't... So I think, yeah, you, Kay, I mean, Kay's different. Kay's vindictive. Like, Kay is, like, he holds a grudge. He's got the laminated list. Pete's parents are probably like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, they wouldn't care.
No, they wouldn't care.
Yeah, take him. We don't have to pay for him now.
No, you. I would say it has to be you.
Yeah? RJ, does this come as a surprise to you, the story?
No, it's right in line with what I imagined you were doing.
Not even a little bit.
I wouldn't be shocked if you did it again this weekend.
No, I wouldn't. No, please. I've matured out of that.
The attic is masturbatorium now.
No. We have a pull-down attic at this house. I couldn't physically do that. No.
I bet you have a plan like that up your sleeve, though, when you really want to hammer home a point. Like, it's in there. It's like what Belichick was saving for Brady all those years. You may never use it, but you have it.
An escape plan?
Is this a doomsday bunker? No, this is where I'm going to run away to.
That's right. If I ever get challenged to run away, this is... Why do you have green beans and canned goods in this room? Because if I ever have to actually run away, this is where I'll go.
Yeah, you're more elaborate now, and you have some money. So there could be like a bookshelf situation. Like, you pull the thesaurus, and a whole room opens up.
Like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Hey, by the way, I went to a house... When I was on my way with Cassie, that's not how I wanted to say that, but when we went...
Tell us more.
No. So when we went looking for houses, so we made the decision, like, we're going to go get a new house. The one we're in now. But one of the houses we looked on had that. In the guy's office, he had that book. That I almost bought it just because of that. The real estate agent's like, check this out. I'm like, what? And they pulled the book, and The whole wall opened up.
And what was behind there?
It was a man cave.
What, like TVs?
Yes.
How could you not have bought this house?
Dude, I am telling you right now, I think it was because Cassie didn't like the area it was in, but I wanted to just stay. The whole bookcase opened up. And then
were there snacks?
In. Dude, it was like this beautiful, there was a bar, there were couches, a TV. It was insane.
See, I'd still be hiding if we had that in my home.
Oh, you wouldn't have to go anywhere. Where would you go?
No, that's it. Where's Dad? The bookcase. Right. He's in the library. Let's go. Let's go to Anthony in Staten Island. Good morning, Anthony. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning. Great show, guys. And I'm guilty. I'm really one of those callers that will call after my team wins. I mean, after a loss, I don't want to hear nothing. That's me. That's me, you know, 100%. But on this Knicks thing, I think I was reading that they hadn't beat the Sixers since, like 2017. I don't know how
straight.
True that is. But
yeah, 15 straight
right?
games
that's
they
like
lost.
That's Melo days. Unbelievable. But, you know, every Knick that touched the floor scored. And Embiid locked down. I mean, you know, Mitch locked down Embiid. You know, and the second unit comes in with a ton of energy. There's nothing to not like. I mean, it was a great game. I mean, the only negative is, they kind of gave up a little bit, you know, towards the end, a little bit on the scores. They kind of caught up a little bit. But other than that, you know, great win. And hopefully they keep it going.
Yeah, they got sloppy at the end of the third quarter into the fourth. They got sloppy.
Yeah, but did you ever, thanks for the call, Anthony, did you ever have that moment where you really thought they were going to lose that game?
No. No, I didn't. I mean, you're just nitpicking at that point. I mean, really, I'm telling you right now, and this is not me. This is not hyperbole. I'm telling you right now, in the moment watching that game, especially the second quarter, top to bottom, up and down the lineup, how they played defense. They made their free throws. They shot, I mean, and again, they're shooting a lot of threes, but when you hit 15 in your first 23, I can live with that. Everything about that game, that was one of the most complete games
it was a great
I've
game.
Seen them play.
You took it over early. Everyone played well, right? It never really, I wouldn't get down to like 13. It never got that dicey. You hammered them. You made their best player look bad. Like, there was a ton of positives.
Not only did you make him look bad, Dave, he looked disinterested.
He did look disinterested. And I think that's because of the way you played against him. I think you were so physical and so tough and made it so difficult on him that he looked like he didn't care, which I don't think is true. I don't think he's like that.
No, I just don't think he, I mean, we're talking about a Tuesday night. It's the fourth game of the season for the Knicks. And I don't think Joel Embiid was ready for that kind of intensity, that kind of physicality.
But right there, I mean, stop, end of sentence. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I think that's why New York Knicks fans love this team. Because that's, I mean, that's really what we want. Yeah, of course we want, you know, we want as many wins as possible. We want to see this team. I mean, I think at this point we're looking for this team to win a playoff round, to take that next step. But we've been screaming about just give us a team that consistently shows up, plays with pride. I wanna turn the TV on, or I wanna go to Madison Square Garden, and I wanna feel a sense of pride about the team I'm watching, because
this is your team.
They care as much as I care.
Yep, then this is your team.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Your owner spoke yesterday.
I heard.
Unwavering adulation for the GM and the head coach. Here is Woody Johnson. There's nothing to worry about. He's a big fan of this staff.
I have unwavering, steadfast confidence in Joe, Robert, and the coaching staff. And I've been around for, this is going on 22 years with my little absence that I had recently. And this is a good group. So we will get it right. I mean, last week, you know, frustrating. But now we turn the page and we're off to the Bengals.
Great. Off to the Bengals. Now, look, I like the fact that he supports those guys. I like the fact that he says this is a long-term thing. But it's not like he's the Rooney family when he's like, you know, I've been here 22 years and, you know, my success speaks for itself. They've been bad for the bulk of that time.
See, that's the problem, though. I mean, as a Jets fan, do you care that Woody Johnson has unwavering confidence in the staff?
None.
When you have zero confidence in Woody Johnson as an owner?
Therein lies the problem, right?
Exactly right. Like, I don't trust what he tells me because I don't know. I mean, I know what I've seen from Joe Douglas. I know what I just saw from the coaching staff against New England coming out of a bye. I've watched the first six games and how this offense has come out in the first quarter and been embarrassed every single week. To the point now we're in the same conversation as the Detroit Lions team that didn't win a game.
That's right. Well, you can make the argument the Jets are the worst team in football right now, no?
And I think it's a strong argument at this point with what you saw against the Patriots. I mean, the lone bright spot was that at least the defense was competing.
Was.
Yeah, it was. Didn't look like that against New England, against the rookie quarterback, which still drives me crazy. I don't get that.
You made him look like a grizzled veteran the way you played that game against New England.
Of course you did. Of course, you know, nobody would spend all this time waxing poetic about Bill Belichick against rookie quarterbacks, how he confuses them. Yeah, Sam Darnold seeing ghosts and everything else. The first game that Zach Wilson played against the Patriots. I mean, interception. I mean, come on. And then the reason why you're a head coach is because you're supposed to be a defensive guru. That's all we heard. All we heard. And you can't, off a bye, make it look difficult, at least make it look difficult for Mac Jones.
No, it couldn't have looked easier. So let me ask you this then. The owner says total confidence. Douglas, Sala, the staff, all of them. Rick DiPietro, do you echo that? Do you agree that you have complete and unwavering confidence, or are you at the point where you're not as sure as your owner right now?
No, I don't think there's one person that can say with a straight face that they have unwavering confidence in anything that they've seen so far. Anything. It's just blind faith. If you believe in this coaching staff now, it's because you have blind faith for some reason.
I think you have to have real reservations about the GM. I do. This is year three, and the offensive line is still not fixed. All these dynamic receivers that they brought in are just guys. I thought he was going to be great. I really did. I loved what he was selling. And I'm not saying he won't be okay, but I'm now starting to... This is year three. By year three, you should have a different feel to your football team, Rick. And you can make the argument, this team is this is the worst they've been in the 3 years since he's been here.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that there clearly were some missteps before the season even started. Right? I mean, and we've talked about it a bunch of different times. The whole notion, right? And here I think where lies the biggest problem with teams here in New York especially, is you do need to have some semblance of patience. Like you saw with Giants fans. I mean, they fell in love with Joe Judge in a 6-win season. Wasn't a great season, but at least because the division stunk, you were competitive for the division. So it made you feel better than you normally would about a 6-win season. But for the most part, Giants fans really like Joe Judge. Then you get off to another slow start, everyone wanted him fired. When in actuality, I mean, what you want in sports is you want stability, you want continuity, and you're supposed to have some patience. This isn't let's microwave it, it should be, you know, put it in the slow cooker and let this thing cook. But as a fan myself, is when your team stinks for as long as my team has stunk, or you as a Giants fan since, you know, your last playoff appearance in the boat trip, how bad you've been, it's like, well, you keep telling me patience, and I get it. You know, with the new regime, you should have patience, but it's been too long. There's no patience left. I don't have any patience left in me to give to you right now. I know that's probably in my best interest to have patience, but I'm done. I can't. I can't watch all this losing every single week, every single year.
It becomes a pattern. It's just a way of Jets football. Now, more from the owner, Woody Johnson. You heard that he has such a strong belief in his regime. Well, why do you have such a strong belief in Douglas and Sala?
Just talking to the leadership of the, you know, with Joe and Robert, and talking to them and seeing how their plans are put together, how they're deep thinkers. I think they want to do things like establish a culture, and they're getting the right players in the right positions. So we're just a very young team. With a young quarterback, he's 22 years old, just turned 22. So he's seeing things for the first time, like a lot of the quarterbacks now, a lot of the young quarterbacks. And it's going to take him a little bit of time, but I have a lot of confidence in Zach, too.
I don't know, man. I just don't know. I don't know that he's wrong. I don't know that he's right. I have no confidence, none, in what the Jets are right now.
You don't know, and you don't trust what he says.
And I don't like this whole young... I get they're a young team, and I know that there's a built-in excuse for that, but all I'm looking for is for you guys to just show signs of promise and be competitive.
Yeah, it's a young team that you put with a rookie coach and a rookie offensive coordinator and a rookie quarterback with no veteran, you know, no veteran quarterback in that room to help the kid out. Like, it's... I don't understand that thought process. Like, Robert Saleh, I don't care how good he was as a defensive coordinator, it was going to take him a minute to learn how to be a head coach. Not just a good head coach, just a head coach, period, with all the different things that he has to deal with on a daily basis. So you would think, like most teams do, is, okay, guy's going to be, you know, he's going to have his hands full early. Let's pair him up with someone that's been a head coach before, so he has someone to lean on. Or let's pair our rookie quarterback up with a quarterback that's been through it, that sees it the way he sees it, that can teach him all the different, you know, all the other things that he doesn't know yet. How to get ready for a game, how to watch tape. Like, you can only meet with the coaches for so long, right? Like, I got great veteran guys. Like, why do you think Joe Thornton is still in the NHL? Why do you think Patrick Marleau was still in the NHL? Why do you think these guys stay around for so long? It's because they go to certain situations where teams have really young, talented guys, and they take these guys under
right.
their...
And they like can
Billy,
help them.
Like Billy Guerin was that for us. Doug Weight was that for us. Like, I mean, John Tavares is a young kid trying to figure it out, so Dougie's been through everything. Dougie, come over for dinner. Come hang with the family. Let me, like... Look, whatever you need, like anything you need to ask me, I'm here. You're not going to ask your coaching staff the same things you're going to ask as one of your teammates.
So let me see. Let me take note of this. Doug Weight invited others over for a dinner.
Yeah, he would always have the young guys over.
Well, that seems nice.
Always, young guys would give him dates. Obviously, they had dates that worked. Same thing with Jumbo. Same thing with Patrick. Like all these veteran guys, you need that around your team, especially with young, you know, young guys that you feel like are going to be foundational pieces moving forward. It's like having kids, man. You're trying to, I don't want to use the word
mold?
Program. but it's almost like program. Like, yeah,
how about mold?
Mold, yeah. There's a certain way we like to do things. This is how, you know, that's why culture is so important. Like, as a Yankee, this is how we do things. As we, whatever it is, like now with the Islanders, like Lou has a certain way he does things. And he leans on the veteran guys to show the young guys how you do certain things.
But therein lies the issue. And you said something when we first played the Woody Johnson sound. Do you, and listen, I'm sure he's a nice man, fine. Do you believe in Woody Johnson as the leader of this organization to turn it around? So if he's telling you, don't worry, it's going to be fine. I have deep conversation with Salah. I think that Joe Douglas is going to be phenomenal. If you had belief in him, you'd believe. If you had belief in John Mara, you'd believe. But how are we, after so much time of, let's be fair, ineptitude, supposed to buy in with what these owners, especially for the football teams, are trying to sell us now?
See, that's what they don't understand, though, right? They just think, okay, we replaced Adam Gase. We got rid of Sam Darnold. So now it's, you know, new coach. We got the youngest team in the league. And we got this fresh-faced quarterback with all this arm talent and everything. But that, yeah, it resets expectations, but it doesn't erase the fans' memory of what they've seen.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, that didn't all of a sudden just, all that losing doesn't just go away because you've decided now that you're going to rebuild this thing and you're going to change our expectations. And we'll give you a minute. Like, we'll give you a minute. That's it. Like, well, just show us some progress.
You've shown nothing. It feels like it's regressing.
Dave, you're talking about an owner that decided it was going to be a good time to leave his team with his brother, who's never, ever in his life done anything like this.
And how has that worked out?
No, it hasn't, but that was like, I mean, you want to talk about the history of the franchise, since I've been a fan at least, is that you actually thought, okay, we made a good move, a shrewd move early to get up from 6-3. Everyone was clamoring, we want Sam Darnold, we got the guy. So now I'm going to leave, I'm going to go and do something else and leave the team in one of the biggest off seasons we've ever had.
That's right.
With my brother.
That's right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. The Jets have the longest playoff drought of any team in the NFL, yes?
Correct.
Okay. So when Woody Johnson has these moments where he's going to just wax poetic about, believe us, trust us, it's going to... How can I do that?
You can't.
You can't.
You can't. So, I mean, you listen to him talk and you're like, come on, stop, Woody, please.
Yeah, I agree. All guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Straight Talk, of course, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract and no compromise. And listen up, Jets fans. Get tickets, see the Jets host the Bengals this Sunday, Halloween, October the 31st at 1 o'clock. All fans in attendance will receive a free Stealth Black Rally towel presented by Green Giant. Lock in your seats today at nyjets.com/tickets and get ready to bring the noise. Be listening today in the 7 o'clock hour where we give you the chance to win a pair of tickets. All brought to you by the New York Jets and your home for Jets football, 98.7. ESPN. All right, we have walked you right up to the line, and it is now time for Stump Rothenberg.
He's confident.
I want to be a college professor.
He's arrogant.
I'm the talent.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You like his book. You should read his book.
I don't read.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Uh-oh. 1-800-919-3776. Is it fair to say, Rick, that the questions have not been phenomenal over the last couple of weeks on Stump Rothenberg?
Last couple of weeks have been a struggle.
Yep. All right, so we are imploring, we are begging you, call with a good question. I think a lot of this falls on RJ as well. RJ is supposed to screen the call, find out the question, and make sure it's an appropriate one. RJ, do you take some of the blame for what's happened to Stump Rothenberg?
You'd think I would, right?
Yeah, I would think, yes.
Well, what I'm going to do is actually blame the questions. I'm going to shovel
the
blame.
But if they're asking you the questions and you let them through, then isn't that, in fact, on you?
Maybe.
Maybe you got to be better?
Maybe the questions have to be better.
All right. 1-800-919.
They got the answers. I changed the questions.
1-800-919-3776. We implore you, call with good questions today. Let's start out like we always do and bring in Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Rick and Dave.
You see what he did there, by the way? You said last week that you don't like DP and R, and he changed it to Good Morning, Rick and Dave. See, you see the power that you have?
No, I actually, the way he says DP and R, I prefer it. I'm just saying the insinuation may be too much for people.
Well, he changed on the fly for you there. Andy,
I'm not opposed to it.
It didn't go unnoticed, Andy. It did not.
It brings me back to my freshman year, but I'm not opposed to it, but it's a little much.
I can hold out no longer. I have a hockey question for you, Dave.
Oh, great. Yes.
So, not surprisingly, the Islanders, Zdeno Chara, is the active leader in penalty minutes with over 2,000. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me, who holds the single-season record for most penalties, 472 minutes in a single season?
Is this for the Islanders?
No, NHL.
So it's most penalties, not most penalty minutes?
I would say...
Most penalty minutes in a single season, 472.
I think it's Dave Schultz will be my answer there.
And you are correct, young man.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed like you guys set this up previous to the show today, that he's going to give you a layup to start.
Well, I didn't hear you chiming in with help.
Well, I mean, there was no thought necessary on that one. I mean, you did it instantly. The boop.
Well, you know what? Why don't you take the next one?
It's not my segment.
Well, it's so easy for you. You seem to know everything. From now on, before I answer, I'll turn to you and you can give me your advice, okay?
You see what's happening here, right? When he knows he gets caught, he gets...
Well, how did I
he
get
goes
caught?
On the attack.
You think he fed me the question before?
That was like your mom bringing you juice before you ran away. That was
Look at what has happened. You know what? You're dead to me.
That was a plant. I would never ever
cheat. All right, let's see what kind of question you have. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm up?
Well, yeah, typically you go second, yeah.
All right, so here we go. So I don't know if you know this or not. The Knicks have made 70 threes through their first four games.
Okay.
Which actually ties a record set by the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's the question. The Knicks are currently attempting 46 threes a game, which is second in the NBA. Can you tell me who has the season-long record for most threes attempted per game in NBA history?
Now, this is a player or a team?
Team. This is a team statistic.
I think the Rockets, but I don't know. That Rockets team took a lot of threes. I'm gonna say the Rockets and not waste time and you laugh at me for taking forever.
You are correct, my friend. The 2018-2019 Houston Rockets, and this is I asked you this question just to put into, so you got to really to see what the Knicks are doing.
Mm.
Just over 45 threes a game. Right now the Knicks are going 46 threes a game.
So the Knicks are out-distancing the most in the history of the league.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, we're only four games in. But that I believe if you're scoring at home, that's 2-0, yes?
2-0.
All right, let's go to John on the cell. John, you, my friend, are on Stump Rothenberg.
How are you guys? Good?
We're great.
All right, here's the question. It's a Super Bowl question. Who are the only two head coaches in Super Bowl history to win a Super Bowl in the first year that they coached that team?
Well, Switzer's got to be one of them.
Yep.
Switzer's not. Switzer didn't win the first year he coached?
Yeah, no.
No, it was the second year.
No,
oh, really?
No, Switzer's not.
They
no,
lost, Switzer they the lost to San Francisco year. The first year.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, is that when... That's right. They fell behind huge and fought their way all the way back. And
correct.
Just lost. Yeah. How? In first... How about... Now, I'm not giving an answer. I'm talking to Rick. Was George Seifert that guy, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, Seifert's one.
Okay. Seifert's one. How about... I'm wondering if Don McCafferty did it. You would know that probably, right? Does Don McCafferty do anything for you or no?
For me...
I think it's Don McCafferty was year one with the Colts, Super Bowl 5.
You got it.
Yeah, nice there, we go. There we go. And do you know who he beat in Super Bowl 5, Santiago?
I'm well aware. You don't need to remind me.
Yeah,
I wasn't alive for it. I don't know like how
how that's supposed to upset me in any way.
You were just a thought.
Not even.
Losing. That would be what? What's the record now? 3-0? Yes?
3-0, my friend.
Let's go to Tom in Northport. Tom, good morning. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning. Hey, I love your show, guys.
Thank you.
Everybody knows the All-Star game that Pete Rose ran over Ray Fosse.
Yeah.
But nobody ever asked the question, who got the hit to drive in Pete Rose?
That's the 1970 All-Star game, I think, right? Got the hit in 1970. So, I mean, you think about National League 1970. So it's got to be. Could it be a Cincinnati Red? Could it be. Could be Johnny Bench, right? But now let's think about this. This is end of the game. Right? So end of the game, usually. Usually have the backup players. So who are the backup players? Like, so starting lineups, you got to think is like a Willie Mays and a Johnny Bench and a Tony Perez. But if you think of the guys that were
in the game. Wasn't it later in the game, though?
Well, of course. It was to end the game. That's what I'm thinking. So it's not going to be a starter. So now you think of who the reserve players are. So you think of like I think Joe Morgan. Now that's National League, even though it was the Astros, they were National League. But Bud Harrelson. I think Jim Hickman on the Cubs was a reserve as well. Rusty Staub was probably on that team. I don't know. You have any idea?
I would probably lean. I don't know why when you said it, it sounds like, rang a bell for me. I would maybe Hickman would be my guess.
Jim Hickman, the first.
Because I remember, I don't know if I asked directly the question. When I was with the Ducks, I had my own stall, my number, everything else.
Oh, we know.
I remember I asked Pete Rose Jr., who was the first baseman on the team, a question about that. I don't think I asked him directly about that, but he went into like the whole detailed
and
breakdown
he mentioned
of
Jim
that.
Hickman? All right. I can do that. Let's go Jim Hickman, first baseman from the Cubbies.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Very good.
Thank
Very
you.
Good.
Nice. Rick, look at you. That was like a Gretzky-like assist.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's what's happening now. We're undefeated. Do we push it and take one more? Do we say, you know what, thank you very much. Tip your waitress. We're out.
Do we want to be good or do we want to be great? That's the real question.
I'm happy being good.
That very question got me in real big trouble in one of my first professional games. Took some energy pills because I wanted to be great.
Good.
They had to carry me off the ice. I say we press our luck. I do. I say we press
all right. All right, Peter Tomarkin, let's press our luck. Eric in Hoboken. Eric, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
We're doing great. We're undefeated, and you're the only thing standing in our way now.
Oh, boy. Let's see what we got. So there is only one player to lead an NBA statistical category all time, but never once led that statistical category on a per-game basis during an NBA regular season. Who is it, and what is the statistical category?
Wait. And first of all, this is an all-time statistical category.
Yes. Certain player has led an NBA statistical category all time, but never once led the NBA on a per-game basis for a regular season.
And this is a major category.
Major category.
Is it a well-known? It's got to be a well-known.
It's got to be a well-known player. So, I mean, assists. It's not gonna be Stockton. He led the league in assists. Scoring. Kareem had to have led the league in scoring. Right.
Correct. On both.
Yeah.
I think I owe you this here. Just listening along, what do you consider a major category?
I mean...
Points, rebounds.
Points, rebounds, assists.
Yeah.
I would say to open the umbrella up to the second wave of categories. Steals and maybe blocks. If that helps you.
I feel like you're giving answers away now.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. It was a little touchy. I want to help you. I came under a lot of criticism, and this is me doing my part.
So blocks or steals, maybe. Right? That's what we're thinking then, Rick?
Yeah, the second. I mean, if he's saying the second wave of stats, yeah. And this guy currently leads in one of those categories?
Well, so I think Hakeem Olajuwon has the most blocks of all time. And the most steals of all time is John Stockton. So the question is, which one of those two never led the league in steals?
Well, in a per game, he said, see, that's the trick. He said in a per game basis.
Well, I thought he said a season long basis.
Eric, you said per game basis?
Per game per season.
Most blocks in commercials, Mutombo. Not even a question.
Commercials, yes. Finger
no,
wagging,
no,
yes.
No. Not today.
So what do you think? You think Hakeem or you think Stockton?
So, I mean, basically we're down to which
I
one
think.
Do you... Yeah, I mean, which one... Do you think that Hakeem would have more blocks per game than you think that Stockton would have? Did he just accumulate the most steals? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't want to ruin it for you.
Yeah, it's going to be ruined, I have a feeling. I'm going to say... I mean, did he ever lead the league in blocks? Is the question. Did he ever lead the league in steals is the question.
Well, during that time, I mean, who else was...
I mean, Mutombo.
What about for steals, though, during that time?
I mean, Kareem was a big blocks guy. Mark Eaton was a big blocks guy. David Robinson for steals in that era. A Jason Kidd. A Jordan was a big steals guy. In that era, Pippen, Gary Payton. I'm going to say it's one of those two. Rick, let's go Hakeem Olajuwon.
Oh, so sorry. Stockton.
Oh, man. What a disappointment.
Stockton never led on a per-game basis for a regular season.
What a disappointment. Because we were right there. You know what? I feel okay about this. I feel like
yeah,
we
but
did
this
well.
Is the problem, though. When you get good questions, you very rarely get them wrong. When you get questions like that had all this... it was different, you know, addendums to the question, and it's per game.
Well, hang on a moment. Santiago would like to chime in.
He said per game or overall?
Per game.
Even then, I'm on Basketball Reference right now, and I've got John Stockton. He led the NBA in steals per game in 88, 89, and 91, 92.
Well, how about
so
that?
So not only did he do it, he did it twice.
Yeah, so maybe we're undefeated then there?
I'm giving us 4-0. I'm not even going to count that last. That's my fault. I'll take the L on that one.
Okay. We had to push it forward, and we pushed it forward.
We got the whammy. No whammies. We whammy.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We have not responded as of yet. In fact, I'm not exactly sure what he even said. You consume every second of the K-Show. What did little Peter Rosenberg have to say yesterday? I heard he was very nasty.
Very nasty. I'm not 100% sure exactly what he said. I'm sure the guys will find it.
Yeah, they have some audio. I thought maybe you would give us a little clarity prior to playing the audio. Here he is, taking shots. Now, mind you, I didn't start this at all. Peter is the one that soiled himself. He admitted that he gave a lesser gift than he probably should have for Ben's bar mitzvah. Now he's playing games with RJ's wedding present. RJ, by the way, just the update. Have you received the wedding present as of yet?
I have not.
That's amazing. Wouldn't you like overnight the present at this point, Rick?
He sent it to the wedding venue. I mean,
I understand.
Of course not. He wouldn't do that. I would. Yeah, I would have brought the gift like I did with me.
Right, right. Most normal people, they bring the present with them. They put it in a little basket, and they're done. But no, not Peter. Peter has special ways of doing things. And apparently, now he feels backed into a corner where he has to attack me. I haven't heard it. I look forward to it. Here is little Peter Rosenberg.
The fact that these people are running party scams to make money.
Rub my glutes.
It's upsetting. I can't believe that he's saying this. I you know what? And again, it's all a distraction. These people got excited about and got on the air and confidently on a sports talk show, confidently picked the Kansas City Chiefs. No one talks about that. All we talk about is this money, because when it comes down to doing our job and talking sports, I'm making them both look stupid. They look foolish. Wow. And they're getting crushed by the guy who's not supposed to know sports. So, Don, what do? They change the whole narrative, and everyone's falling for it. I gave Dave's lovely boy some amount over $100. If him and his friends want to sit around and call me the guy who doesn't give gifts, that's fine. What they should call me is the guy who knows more about sports than his father. That's what he should call me, because the man couldn't pin a pick on the donkey. It's a joke, and he's changed the subject now. Sorry, pal. I'm here to remind you what's really going on. This show is kicking your show's rear end, and you want to talk about bar mitzvah gifts. Stop. I will not allow the narrative to be changed.
What an embarrassment this guy is. So because he throws a dart against a dartboard and actually hits for a couple of weeks and has, I think, a two-game lead over us with the other people on his show helping him along the way, he now knows more about, I can't even say it, more about sports than us as a show? It's comical.
Yeah, it's comical, but I'll say this, though. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. This is why there's a real sense of urgency for me on Fridays, texting you guys, trying to figure out what we're picking.
Well, now it's on. I mean, for you know what? It was fun and games. I was enjoying it. Now it's on. But let me ask you this, honestly.
You want the algorithm?
I don't want the algorithm. Let me ask you this. And I'm sincere when I ask you.
I did my little algorithm yesterday.
Yeah. Do you look at picking a game successfully with the spread as someone that actually knows or doesn't know sports?
No.
I mean, that is, to make that your argument, I have forgotten more about sports than he knows. How he could even compare. If you left Peter to his own device and said, you know what, host your own show, you'd have 3 hours of wrestling and God knows what else. Maybe some UFC and maybe a little bit of baseball of players that he's not familiar with. What kind of show would that be?
Yeah, but don't let him do this. He's doing exactly, I mean, he's trying to distract you from the main goal here, the focus here, which is the fact that, I mean, RJ still doesn't have a gift yet.
And RJ still doesn't have a gift yet. And by the way,
his co-hosts are disgusted with that.
And they should be. It's embarrassing. And by the way, I was never, and you know this, ever going to bring up the fact that he undergifted Ben. Never. Do you know who brought up the fact that he did that?
He did.
On the show the next day. Michael said, you know, I felt like I gave a generous gift. He's like, well, I don't think I really did. I undergifted. And in fact, went as far as saying, this was him. I was going, and I don't remember the amount. I was going to give this amount, but I decided I needed money for the week, so I held out some of the cash and gave him a lesser amount. That was on him. I didn't bring that up.
Yeah, but I don't understand why you're letting yourself get caught up in this. Everyone knows that you know more sports than him. Everyone knows it. I mean, don't waste people's time with this right now.
So we just ignore?
Yeah, they want to hear your sports knowledge. They don't want to hear you complain about Peter because Peter's cheap.
That's what it comes down to, right? I don't think we're trying to bury the lead.
I mean, he's not a good friend. I mean, even Jeff Passan. They asked Jeff Passan. Passan's like, yeah, I mean, I'm giving more than 200.
He wasn't.
Even Passan agrees with you.
He wasn't near 200 for Ben.
I thought you said 36. I thought it was 36.
I never said 36. He was above 36. But it was, I mean, like, the thing that's so disappointing is, like, RJ, who doesn't make nearly the amount of money as Peter, gave way more. Andrew, way more. Santi, way more. You didn't go and gave 3 to 4 times more. Michael, 3 to 4 times more. Tim McCarthy, our former GM, great guy, 3 to 4 times. It's not like Peter didn't give a gift. Peter was dwarfed. And I guess it makes sense. He gave a little gift.
That's all he could fit his pocket.
Yeah. Maybe that's all the cash that he could be able to walk around with.
This is as much as I can fit in my tiny little hand.
That's right. And anything more, and it'll be just spilling out as I walk into the venue.
Well, what should really bother you is this, though, right? Is that he, I mean, he's, like, I've never, I mean, I popped out of a floor at a bar mitzvah, but I wasn't, I'm not Jewish. I've never, I mean, I don't know what the appropriate amount of money is.
Yeah,
to
but you're not
get.
An animal either.
No, I understand that. But
I'm sure you went around and said, what would be appropriate? Like, honestly, wouldn't you think that Peter, who is Jewish, mind you,
but
would have said to you or Michael or Don, very generous gift. Don showed up late. His wife didn't attend, and he crushed Peter in the gift. Wouldn't you think that he would have maybe gone around to the guys and said, hey, what are you giving? Like, what is a decent number that I should give here?
Well, yeah, but the idea that you've actually gone through it, like he had his own bar mitzvah.
Well, here's the problem, if I could jump in, because I was on the show at that
time. You're going to defend
him? No. Well, I'm giving you I can answer that question. At his bar mitzvah, he said the gifts were a percentage, a fraction of what was being given at your son's.
Well, that is fair and that is true for a number of reasons. Firstly, when was he bar mitzvahed? He's what, 45? So he was bar mitzvahed 30 plus years ago.
He said that getting NFL sportswear was a gift back then. That was, and he was excited.
Got to get better friends, and it's inflation too.
Yes, but that was the intel we were getting.
You know what the shame of the whole thing is, and I can say this: as a Jewish people, we have an unsightly reputation of we are not forthcoming with our money. Right? You've heard that before.
And me never know.
Well, that exists out there. That the Jewish people can be thrifty and somewhat cheap. And a lot of us have done so much over the years to try to fight that stigma. And Peter's like, nope, that's who we are. That's what we are. We're cheap people. Shame on him. Shame on him. I'm embarrassed for him.
But there's no excuse. Like, I get like the excuses. Well, I don't really know Ben that well, so I don't want to get crazy with the gift, which isn't the right mindset to have in the first place. But, I mean, RJ's supposed to be his guy.
But, you know, it's a terrible excuse also. He knows me well. He wouldn't be invited if it was just Ben. Ben doesn't really know Peter. He's invited because I thought we were friends. So you're not giving a gift based on your closeness or lack thereof to the person who's having the event.
I don't listen.
You don't know Ben that well.
I don't disagree. I didn't even get to go. I didn't get to experience the fireworks and the donut wall and everything else. And I feel like I gave a pretty good gift.
And
I
you
got
did.
The platinum award for I did RJ's wedding and still gave the platinum gift.
And you did beautifully. And now this guy, how he deflects to the point where we're the bad people and he still hasn't given RJ a gift is quite honestly bewildering to me.
No, but here's what I need you to do. All this going back and forth, saying nasty things to each other, is not accomplishing what I need you to accomplish.
We're
going to
start winning games.
Yeah, but that's what needs to happen. That's how you hurt
them. I have never wanted to defeat someone in anything more than I do right now.
The guy clearly doesn't realize
it all changes now.
Yeah, but he clearly doesn't. He's not going to recognize. I mean, this is the hill he will die on. He does not realize he's a bad guy or being a bad friend.
You know what? I don't think Charles Manson thought he was a bad guy either.
So the only way to hurt this guy, I mean, clearly, I mean, he has no heart. Is you got to beat him with the picks, because right now he's peacock and his picks are great. He knows all the stuff about sports and everything else.
What week are where you live? What week are we in the NFL?
Where I live?
Yeah,
I believe we kick off week 8 on Thursday.
Yeah. How many weeks of NFL football do we get?
We get 18 weeks this year.
Yeah. All right. Settle down. DPH.
Oh, I love this. See what you did, Peter.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.